Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's common knowledge in many circles that the official federal poverty level is an obsolete and inadequate standard. Fewer people, however, have any kind of tangible idea of what it really costs to survive in modern North Carolina, much less on a county-by-county basis. Recently, in their ongoing effort to fill this information gap, researchers at the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center released their annual Living Income Standard Report. Their central finding, many families do not earn enough to pay for their basic needs. Many more live paycheck to paycheck and don't earn enough to save in order to plan for their future or invest in their children and their education. Recently, I sat down with report author Brian Kennedy to learn more about his findings. Well, Brian Kennedy, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so you've got a new report out called the 2019 Living Income Standard. This is something that the North Carolina Justice Center has been doing for a while, but periodically you update it. And what it is about is telling people, readers, what it actually costs to live in our state. How do you survive? What kind of income do you really need?
Yeah, the rationale behind it really was the understanding that the federal poverty level currently is an inadequate estimation of what people really need to make ends meet. And so the impetus behind the project was to really dig down and understand what it is that folk are actually spending money on in terms of expenses, and then also to understand how that varies from county to county. The federal poverty level currently,
which is like a 50-year-old standard that somebody
longer,
did on the back of
longer.
An envelope in the 60s or
right,
something
so
like
it's
that.
1962, it was formulated and assumed that people spent one-third of their income on groceries. But that's changed, and so we spend more on childcare, on healthcare, on housing now. Because oftentimes multiple parents are working, we're spending more on childcare and things like that. So what this measure attempts to do is take a look at the reality, what people are actually incurring in terms of expenses, and then make a baseline based upon that.
And so you found that it actually costs a lot more than the federal poverty standard to live a decent life in our state. And the reality is that a very disturbing percentage of North Carolinians come in under it.
It does. So the federal poverty line for a family of four is just over $25,000 a year. For a family of four in North Carolina, the living income standard is about $53,000 a year. That's a little more than $25 an hour is what a family of four needs to bring in order to just make ends meet.
Which makes sense. I mean, if you think about how a family of four could possibly live on $2,000 a month, $25,000 a year, which would be, it's basically 500 bucks a week for a family of four. I mean, that just doesn't even make it within the realm of reality. It would seem
right.
How you could possibly have any kind of a decent standard of living. So the 52 number seems a lot more plausible, but even that's not luxurious, right?
Right. And what that assumes is that a family is working 40 hours a week. It assumes that they're taking no vacation, no time off. And so we know that the reality is that folk get sick. People have to care for family members. People need a break every now and then. And
without any kind of paid leave, because we don't have any policies on that.
And so this number is really a conservative estimate of what folk really need to make ends meet. We also do another number in the report that answers the question of what do people actually need to have a safety net in order to invest in things like education.
And maybe save a little.
And save a little. And so we estimate that. And that, of course, is just a teeny bit higher than the 53,000 number.
And it varies from county to county. There's, not surprisingly, some of our rural counties have a lower standard that it takes to get by because it costs less to live there. But, of course, the reality is that half the counties in North Carolina have fewer jobs than they had before the Great Recession, and there aren't a lot of economic opportunities in those counties.
There's quite a bit of variance. So, for example, in Durham County, a family of four needs around $63,000 a year. In Allegheny, for example, the family of four only needs $44,000. But there's two factors that are kind of hidden behind that. One, as you noted, a majority of the job growth, a large majority of the job growth since the end of the recession has occurred in kind of high populated metro counties. So what that means is that if you're looking for work, you have no option but to move to these high cost counties where
rent is much higher,
childcare is much higher. The other thing is that, you know, one thing we found when we were analyzing the report, counties like Chatham were typically relatively expensive to live in, which surprised some people. But what happens is that the housing market in the Triangle and from Wake County and Durham County spills over into other counties that were previously a little bit more affordable.
Right. People commute, they drive long distances, try to live where it's a little more affordable.
Exactly. So what we're seeing is that rural counties, urban counties, everywhere, we're seeing costs really increasing.
And the big drivers are housing, I presume, health care. You're saying child care is a big expense. Obviously, if you're going to have a family and you're going to try to work outside the home and you don't have, the kids are still not old enough to go to public school, then you've got to come up with a way to pay for it, right?
Yeah, child care is one of the largest driving factors. One thing that surprised us was the cost of transportation. And really what we saw was that transportation, and it's not so much about gas, mm-hmm. But the cost of just maintaining a car,
mm-hmm.
and what people are required to use their car for, both to go to work, to take children to school, doctor's appointments. And so we found that transportation actually accounts for almost 20% of a family's monthly budget.
Obviously, there's some things we could do about this, right? I mean, y'all have thought about, there are some policy changes that we could be starting to think about that could make a difference. There's no one magic solution to the issue of people not making enough to survive, but there are a lot of policy solutions that could help, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So one of the probably most obvious things would be to raise the minimum wage.
Right.
We haven't seen a minimum wage increase in some time in North Carolina. There's a misconception about who is earning the minimum wage, but a majority of minimum wage workers are not teenagers. A large percentage of them are caring for children and other family members. And so we need to definitely take a look at that and measure what it takes to make ends meet and pay people that type of wage. But there's other things, investing in pre-K education and really helping to subsidize child care and increasing that investment.
We've got some long waiting lists already, even for the inadequate subsidies we have now. Right?
And really what a lot of that is making good choices on the state level. Last year, North Carolina received a little over $70 million in a child care development block grant.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than increasing the number of child care subsidy slots, they actually decreased the amount of state funding and subsidized it with federal funding. So we need to make decisions, rather than paying for previous tax cuts, we need to make decisions that invest in North Carolina. So those are the big things, but also other things that may not seem as the wage boosters.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in public transportation is a huge way to make sure that low wage and moderate wage workers are able to get back and forth to work. It allows them to take jobs that are better opportunities, that pay higher wages that they might not otherwise have access to.
Right. That makes good sense. Going forward, there's other issues. One issue I wanted to ask you about while I've got you here, because I know it's a specialty of yours, is hunger in North Carolina. The reality is that a lot of the people who are living under the living income standard are still battling hunger in this state. And we've also cut our subsidies and investments in anti-hunger programs, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot that we can do to address hunger. Number one, we can make sure, I think living wage is the number one way to address hunger. But there's also things we can do, like ensuring that children who are paying a low or reduced rate at schools are not actually, they don't have to worry about paying for school lunch.
Right.
That's a very low cost item that we can take care of.
Right.
We can get rid of school shaming and make sure that kids aren't being shamed for not having enough money to pay for school lunch.
Right.
We can, on the federal level, there's a lot we can do in terms of increasing the minimum benefit in SNAP.
Food stamps.
Right. Program formerly known as food stamps. So there's a lot of things that we should be doing considering just the agricultural might that the state has.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no reason anyone in this state should be going hungry.
Absolutely. So 2019 legislature's underway. I guess we're not seeing a whole lot of movement on any of these issues. Are there any battles at the General Assembly this year that people probably ought to pay a special close attention to if they're concerned about this issue? I mean, I suppose there will be debates over child care funding and about funding for education and perhaps some of these anti-poverty programs. Is there anything you get your eye on in particular? Or is the fight more broadly about how we fund government and tax structure?
Well, I think there's two things. I think, number one, we can always continue to, of course, look at the minimum wage.
Yeah.
And then also allowing localities to pass minimum wage laws that not just impact state and county workers, but also impact
private employees
as well. That's a huge one. But I'll also say, you know, conversations like Medicaid expansion are all a part of this as well. And so if we can pass a Medicaid expansion bill that does not punish people who have a difficult time finding work, that does not place undue burdens on people who are already struggling to make ends meet, if we can actually pass policies that help people access health care, that's going to go a long way in helping people make good decisions about what types of jobs that they want to enter. It creates a situation where people are able to, you know, go to work consistently because
right.
they're not sick.
Right.
And so all of these different things that may not seem as though they're directly connected to how much folk bring home are huge factors in that.
We'll be paying close attention as the 2019 legislative session goes on. We appreciate all the great analysis you do. People can find this report at the North Carolina Justice Center. Just go to ncjustice.org. There's a button right there on the front page. You can click on it for the 2019 Living Income Standard. Check out Brian Kennedy. Just once you find his name on that website, you can find a lot of the amazing research he's done. So check it out. Brian, please keep up the good work.
And I will.
We'll do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up next, some hard truths about for-profit colleges and the damage they're doing to vulnerable North Carolinians. Don't go away.